You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the All Systems Go podcast, where we invite and interview startup founders and digital marketers to discuss strategies and softwares used to build automated marketing and sales systems that scale. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder of Automation Bridge. And on this episode, we get to interview Rick Elmore, who is he's an entrepreneur, sales and marketing expert, and a former college and professional football athlete. So needless to say, competition is no stranger to Rick. And as the founder of CEO of Simply Noted, Rick developed a proprietary technology that puts real pen and ink to paper to scale handwritten communication, helping businesses of all industries scale this unique marketing platform to stand out from their competition and build meaningful relationship with clients, customers, and employees. And the reason why this is important for us is this gives you all, my digital marketing audience, as well as you founders and CEOs that are looking to personalize your marketing that much more. We now have an additional tool to be able to do that. So Rick is going to come on and show us, how do we expand our personalization and how do we blend traditional and digital marketing to achieve that? Rick, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Thanks so much for having me here, Chris. I really appreciate it.
Yes, I'm looking forward to this, Rick. Before we got to record, I had the opportunity to give you feedback on your website. We'll have the link to the website in a moment, but it's one of those websites where you go to and you need literally no comprehension or no time to comprehend what you do. You land on it and you see what's happening. You're like, oh, notes, robots. Mm-hmm. What's this? So I want to get into it, but tell us a little bit about your founder's journey, Rick.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Professional football tech company, handwritten notes, and somewhere in there you've got sales and marketing. Just help us piece it all together.
Yeah, it's a great question. So my background is in athletics. I do have a twin brother. We grew up playing sports together. We were very lucky to get scholarships together to go to the University of Arizona. Played football there, had a pretty good career, was drafted, and played in the NFL for 3 years. Got done a lot sooner than I thought I would. I thought I was going to play until I was 30 and, you know, have the money to go just, you know, open a gym or something. But talked to a lot of the guys who had that crossover journey from athlete to, you know, life after sport. And a lot of people got into medical device sales. So I got into medical device sales, you know, did everything that I did in athletics for a long time, just competed, self-starter, resilience, perseverance, you know, pushed through. Became pretty successful in med device sales. After about 5 years, you know, I was an associate for 1 year, as president's club every single year as a sales rep when I carried my own bag. I was looking for something else. I just knew, like, I didn't want to be like a career sales guy. Like, I wanted to do something bigger. Yeah. I wanted to build something bigger. Both my parents were small business owners, medical biller and a contractor, you know, but it just gave them the freedom to go do what they wanted. You know, they didn't have, like, you know, crazy, huge, large businesses, but it just gave them the freedom to go to our practices, go to our games, be available, you know, be the type of parent I wanted to be someday. But I went back and did my MBA in 2017, and we had to do a project for class. And I was, you know, going to school, trying to take all this knowledge I was learning when I was doing my MBA. And, you know, I was in sales. I was like, hey, how can I apply what I'm learning, you know, in school to what I'm doing? And I was always looking for ways to stand out, you know, be better, scale my sales. You know, if I did 1 million in sales the year before, I wanted to do 2 million the next year. How was I going to do it?
Yep.
And I had to start this little project, and I always had this little interest in this company that is no longer around. They were called Bond, and Bond, what they did was they did handwritten notes, but for the wedding sector, like the wedding market, which is, I thought was the absolute worst idea, because if you've ever been married, or if you've ever, you know, talked to a bride or a bride to be, like, it is just the most hectic, stressful 12 months of planning your wedding. Things are changing all the time. It takes forever to get anything done. I just thought that would work a lot better in business. So, had to start this project. I thought, hey, you know, if I can do it for school, let me try to focus on the business market, because they have the budget, they have the software. You know, nobody's doing handwritten notes in business right now. Everybody's doing the same thing. Everyone's doing email. Everybody's knocking on doors. Everybody's cold calling. And so what I did is worked with some mailing houses here in Phoenix, Arizona, bought this really bad writing robot from China. And, but really tried to make it work, because I had no money. I had no budget. I was like, hey, I have like $500 to start this company. How can I do it?
Yeah.
But, it was a really, really painful process. But what we did is we got this little robot that we bought, put it together, had it write 500 notes, to doctors that were in my territory.
This is a real robot, by the way.
It was a 3-axis plotter. So
wow.
I have it still here. It's like, you know, when you make your first dollar in a business and you save it, I still have that first robot in our office. It's in our warehouse, but, yeah, it's grown a lot more since then. But, I sent out 500 handwritten notes, just, you know, trying to book an appointment with some doctors I've never been able to reach. And 32 of them called me back. And out of those 32, I got $280,000 in new business. And my monthly like number was like $35,000. My whole, like, wow. My whole company was like freaking out, like, Rick, what are you doing? What's working? And I was just like, this is it. I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to turn this into a business. I knew it would work. And from then on, I mean, from like end of 2017, I just started really researching this. How was I going to make the transition from W-2 medical employee to entrepreneur, starting a robotic penwritten note business?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it's interesting, because would you say that your current job at the time was your funding for your business?
You know what? Yeah. I think, in med device, I mean, it's a good career. If you're good, at building relationships, you're responsible, you work hard. I mean, it can be a really good career. I think it did fund it for sure, but, just it wasn't enough, you know. It wasn't a money thing. It was a intrinsic value fulfilling of the human spirit thing, and it just wasn't doing it for me.
Yeah. And Rick, I'll say this, life is funny like that, because we often don't know what's in us, right? Mm-hmm. You've got hints and clues. You look at parents, and then you get exposed to things and have experiences, and some experiences you say, hey, I like that. And other ones you're like, I could do without that. Yeah. But every situation or every experience pulls something out of you, or helps you identify something that's in you. And it sounds like when you're doing this medical device job, it really awakened the fact that, wait a minute, I'm not too bad at sales and marketing. This stuff actually makes sense to me. Hold on, you know, and you just start to awaken, you know.
You know, I think to be an entrepreneur, you either got to follow your passion, or you got to, like you just said, like, a part of the journey is what's going to pull that out of you. And that's what the MBA was for me. It's like, you know, I was the first person to go to like a 4-year school in my family. And then MBA I was the first person to do it as well. But that's what I wanted out of my MBA. I wanted to find something else. I wanted to find something more. And that's exactly what it did. And that's what I would recommend to any person within their journey, because we're all on our own personal journeys in our lives, is just to keep going, right? And if something happens, right, if there's a detour, you have to pivot, just keep going. Don't stop, because a lot of people just shut down, and they stop progressing, or, you know, analysis paralysis prevents them from progress. And it's just like, just keep moving, just keep going, keep trying. And those answers will reveal themselves to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got the first investment into the robot. You do your MVP, send out these letters. You have this great response. Now you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I make this into a real thing? Mm-hmm. I'll fast forward to the point where you realize that, okay, we've got something. You leave your job. You're running this company. How would you explain that experience your first year going off of the corporate milk and eating your own meals and saying, mm-hmm. wow, wait a minute, what did it match your expectations? Where was it a rough transition? Just how was that for you?
So I think you have to understand your personality. Like, what is your pain threshold? Because a lot of people, you know, they like the comfort. I mean, medical device is great. You had a car allowance, you had a corporate card, a good base, great commission, right? But I think a lot of high performing athletes have a gluttony for punishment. And when things start getting too easy, you know, you get uncomfortable. And that first year for me, I was more excited, even though it was the hardest. You know, those first two or three years, it was the hardest. I mean, building this company has been the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I don't have a technical background, a software background, an engineering background. All I have is sales and marketing. And my passion for this project, my passion for personal growth, my passion for proving to myself that I could do it was just way stronger than any type of, you know, fear or anxiety or even the amounts of stress that come with building this company. So, I think my relentlessness, no matter what's going to, you know, provide progress and success down the line, is just, it may take longer, you know, than it did when I was in medical device sales.
Yep. It sounds like it also tapped into that competitive nature, but instead of extrinsic, right? External, mm-hmm. it was more internal. It's like you're now mm-hmm. competing against the version of you yesterday.
Yep.
And this today it's got to be better. And yesterday's gone. Today it's got to be better. And just making those incremental improvements and progressions, man. I can see how, even if you were unaware or aware, it doesn't matter, but how that could be a driving force. And mm-hmm. and you talk about threshold of pain. Your linebacker is one of the most aggressive positions in football. I mean, you can't not be able to tolerate pain.
I think that's I never thought of it like that, but I mean, when I was young, I had this internal like anger, rage. I just needed to get out, and that's why football was so good for me. But I think, you know, as you get older, you can't do that anymore, right? You can't hit people for a living, you know, unless like you're still like, doing UFC or something. But being able to push yourself physically, emotionally, and mentally, you know, the ways that entrepreneurship does, I think that really filled that void.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So thank you for sharing that journey. So we'll get caught up to now and handwritten notes. So here's one of the things that I struggle with when I'm teaching marketing or mentoring, and it's really when it's about automation, is that people want to they want to replace as much as you've got two hands. One hand, people want to replace as much as possible and do the least amount of work ever. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, people are terrified for robots to run mm-hmm. their company. They don't want to lose the personal touch. And I often tell them it's a blend. It's like an orchestra. How do we get both of them to work in sync, in synchronicity with the fine tune that everything looks good, sounds good.
Yeah.
And usually it's a struggle of understanding how can I leverage this technology to personalize the journey. I think that it's simple to understand that having a handwritten note is personalized, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how do we do it in a way where when someone receives it, because there are some mail, there's some mail that I receive that I can tell, okay, this is not handwritten. And then it's some that I'm just like, this is really good. I don't know if they wrote it or not. Usually it's in the real estate market. But what are some areas outside of that you're seeing really strong performance with handwritten notes?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people like using us for like, you know, in real estate, off like off market, like property, like development, try to find like off market deals, or some, you know, some companies, software companies, they'll use us for just trying to like get appointments set. But what we really try to hammer home at the end of the day, it's relationship management and development. Because at the end of the day, if your clients appreciate you and they love you and they like you, they're going to stay longer with you. They're going to spend more money with you. They're going to leave you better reviews. They're going to give you more referrals. And that's really what we try to like really consult when we talk to our clients is, hey, like, this is great as a marketing tool. We are a platform that allows you to efficiently like automate sending real handwritten notes, but you should be reaching out to your clients, you know, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 times a year, once a quarter, and just stay top of mind, right? Send them a, you know, a happy New Year's card, a 4th of July card, you know, a happy anniversary. Hey, thanks for being our client for the 3rd year in a row, or a holiday card, right? And just stay top of mind, because nobody's doing that these days. You know, the average person, I don't believe this stat, but the average person receives 10 handwritten notes a year or 8 handwritten notes a year. I think it's less than that. Cause everybody's going digital nowadays.
Yeah.
And it's like you just said earlier, it's like, how can we be as hands off as possible? Right. We're already busy doing other things. How can we automate this, automate that? And the great thing about our service is that handwritten notes is really the last form of communication that people think can be automated. And I think we're like 3, maybe 5 years before like the secret's out of the bag, where a lot of people know about these companies.
I agree.
But really it's, you know, as your market, if you can integrate into your marketing workflow, that's great. Like that's where a company like us helps, but staying top of mind, building that relationship, just thank you. We appreciate you. Thinking of you, that is so much more valuable than sending out. And I love the big orders, the 10,000, 50,000 handwritten, like prospecting projects. I love them. They're great. Yep. They move the needle for us, but, the ROI of the relationship is just so much more. It really is.
Yeah. And it's a very personalized channel. I'm one of the type of people that any card that I buy, if it's a birthday or thank you or whatever, I always write in it. Mm-hmm. I always write. It's not uncommon. People who are close to me, I think everybody who's close to me has received a handwritten note from me. So I'm still old fashioned in that. And I mean handwritten, like a piece of paper, I write on it, fold it up and deliver it to you, you know, like back in the day. And I can't explain how that has a positive impact on someone. And this is just day to day. We're not talking about any business transaction. So if we have a channel out here and we have technology, you talked about integrations. When I go to your website, I see a HubSpot integration, Zapier integration, Shopify integration. So if there's a means of activities and events taking place in your marketing, you're tracking it along the customer journey, I think it's really powerful to denote when is the time to send that personal hello. And for me, I'll just be honest. This is an area, as you're talking, Rick, I'm just like, okay, I'm not doing this. So I'm just going to put it all out there on the podcast, man. I've got a program. I have a program. It's a high ticket program, and it's exhaustive learning. I mean, it covers stuff that universities are still trying to figure out how to teach, right? And marketing automation. When someone enrolls, they should be receiving a handwritten note from me. I can still create what the content says, right? Yeah. It's not like I'm just, hey, Rick, can you come up with a phrase for me? And just send, it'll still be my words. Mm-hmm. But the problem with me is I'm not trying to automate because I want robots to do everything. I know me as a human being, I'm unreliable, Rick. I am not reliable to write that note every single time I get an enrollment. You know,
Well, the problem is we're just so inundated nowadays, right? We're so accessible and available, right? Through phone calls and social platforms, and people are just grabbing our attention all the time. So even if you have the best intentions, I mean, I have this conversation every single day with people like, oh, we want to do this. I should be doing this, but it's getting the time to set it up, or like, oh, I, like we talk to people like, oh, I'll just send out these 500 handwritten notes. I know they never will. They just won't like sit down and write 10 handwritten notes. Like it's almost impossible. It's not because you're going to start writing. It's like, oh, what happens if I mess up? Right. I'll have to start over. Or my kid, you know, is in the other room screaming. Right. Yep. Or, oh, I leave them here and I forget them. They don't go out. Right. So, you know, I think like you just said, it's like the handwritten note is really worth its weight in gold. It's just finding a systematic way to make sure it's getting done on time. And I think there's a lot of benefits to using robots to handwriting letters. It's, you know, number one, you can be consistent. You can have a trackable way to make sure that, you know, these are the spelling's correct, the grammar's correct, it's being sent and tracked, you know, versus I talked to a real estate agent literally on Monday, like, oh, I'm just going to hire a VA to do it. I'm just like, you're going to trust somebody that you're going to pay $5 an hour to handwrite your notes to your clients, right? You're not going to be able to proofread these. Like you're going to put your reputation on the line because you want to, you know, save $150. And it's just like the way that some people think, it's just, I don't know. I think if you're going to reach out personally to somebody, you want to put your best foot forward. You want to do it on time. You want to do it the right way. And I think, you know, a handwritten note really is the best way to do it, to make a real good, impactful impression on somebody.
Yeah. And I will say this for those of you who are overwhelmed, I feel like I have a framework already. It's what I would use, right? Rick, what I would do is this. I would sit down and again, with my pen, I would write the note as if I'm writing to one person. Okay. Mm-hmm. On the event that take place, we'll stick with enrollment because that's what I've been talking about. I'll write that note. At that point, my job is done. I can then give that note to someone. They can type it up. They can log in. And now that note exists in your platform and I can integrate it with my technology at whatever point in that journey.
Yep.
So I think that, again, for me, I will be a little adverse to just jumping in, typing a note. I think I will have to emulate. I would emulate one time, right? Do it once, everybody. This is what we do in automation, right? One time, capture it, sit down, think of that best student, right? That best customer, and write a heartfelt, like, nothing. I don't want anything cheesy. I don't want anything that's just kind of like over the top. Capture my personality so that when they get it, they feel it. Mm-hmm. Right. I think that that's an easy way for people to start getting acclimated and integrated with automation. A lot of times they just want to jump into the tools and start doing stuff and then wonder why it feels a little rigid. Wonder why it feels a little robotic. And it's because, well, you took a robotic approach. If you just step back, just write it out, have somebody digitize it. And then, you know, you've got platforms to send.
Yep. I have you make some good points. I have a pretty good story that can go off of that. We work with one of the largest at-home service companies here in Arizona, and they service, you know, they do bugs, pools, like windows, all that stuff. And anytime they bring out a new client, they automate sending. And when we say automate, we use Zapier API. So as long as you know, your software can use those platforms, you can use mail merge tags, completely customize these letters. But anytime they bring in a new client, they automate like a thank you card, and we send it out for them. And then, you know, they'll use another service like 4 or 5 months later. And, you know, it's a different branded card with a different message. But if they go in and they service that account and they go to their house, like they'll still see the handwritten note sitting on the counter. Like a service company, their client receives their letter from somebody they barely know and they still keep it. Like, are people going to do that with your automated text? Are people going to do that with your automated email? Are they going to do that with your cheap print flyer? Mm-hmm. It's a 1000% no. Yeah. So like those are the type of stories when our customers tell us, like, it just completely verifies, you know, our concept, our service, because I know it works. You know, I saw it work, you know, firsthand 4 or 5 years ago, and our clients, you know, they tell us. So it's just impactful, has a long shelf life. People appreciate it, and it can be completely automated.
Yeah. Couple technical questions for you. Yeah. When it comes to getting the handwritten font, do you guys have the ability to perhaps I do a sheet that prints off and I show you how I do my letters, and then you scan it in and it emulates my handwriting. Am I picking from a library of already customized handwritten fonts?
So that's a good question. So we have 900 like handwriting styles. We have 29 that are available to the public. But if you want to convert your own handwriting, we call it handwriting styles because they're not really fonts. And I can talk like this is there's developing a handwriting engine for our handwriting robots around handwriting styles is I can develop a course about this because it's so complicated and it's its own depth. But when we're developing handwriting style, what we can do is take your handwriting. It's literally, you know, basic, write out your letters, you know, uppercase, lowercase, you know. We're going to have you write out some sentences to see like your natural handwriting styles. See if you have like any unique ligature combinations. Ligatures are like, you know, when two letters are next to each other, what two L's look like, two T's, do you cross your T's? You know, for me, what's really unique to me is like when I write the, like my the is so unique to me. It's like T-H-E. It's, that would be a ligature style that we would program into your handwriting. So, our handwriting engine is, and I know it is like, I've used every, like there's like handwriting robots out there that kind of work, and I've used every one of them before we ended up building our own. But we have unlimited variability within our handwriting style. So if you literally wanted 1,000 A's in your handwriting style, it's going to be an expensive font to build, but we literally can build you an unlimited handwriting style that has unlimited, you know, font variability. So and that's what I'm telling, you know, clients who are like, oh, these are robot handwritten, like, yeah, but it's still unlimited variability, and we control the kerning, we control the ligatures, we control the spacing, the horizontal jitter. We just added natural line wave. So it's called a line level warp. So like when it writes, it kind of writes like, I mean, it is a very in-depth, complicated process, but short answer, we would have you fill out a form and we would create a handwriting style for you, but we also have a lot of in-house handwriting styles that people choose.
Yeah, and this is, we're leveraging technology. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not trying to get off the hook and fool people and trick. No, please, like, log my handwriting style, because I'm unreliable and I want to put my font or my ligature style, I think that's what you said, I'm learning on the fly here, into your system. So when they receive it, it's heartfelt. Now, and it's authentic. Watch this. Everybody put on your tech hats, listeners, for me. Rick, you said something earlier about Zapier and mail merging. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, since my handwriting is in your system, I have one way of just sitting down, writing out a note. Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to write this note out and somebody can digitize it, upload it, XYZ, right? But I'm using paper. The other thing is throughout the customer journey. And this is going to get a little technical, everybody, but just follow me. If you have a mail merge, that means that you can send an email, whether it's forwarded or this is just a response to a particular inbox, and that inbox is going to look for patterns, and you can extract text, you can extract strings, and you can extract information.
Yep.
There's no reason why, just like we do with emails and how we personalize emails, there's
the same
no
exact
reason,
technology, same exact.
Well, we can't do it, right?
So think of like you know, MailChimp or Constant Contact, how you would like, you know, customize those emails. It's the same exact technology for customizing handwritten notes.
Yep.
And as long as you have like that get and put data or trigger action data, as long as that data is able to be triggered out of your software, so first name, last name, address, you know, birthday, whatever, it all could be automated. Yep.
So there it gets to, you know, I do all kind of stuff with email. If I sometimes I can't control the who's sending me the email, but it comes in the same format, so I'll send it through a mail parser and put, and now I have my merge fields. Other times I am the owner of the form, the information comes in, again, still I can now merge it. My point is this: there's no reason that anybody should be at a disadvantage saying I don't know how to make it personalized or I don't know what to write. If you've been following this podcast, if you've been listening to the tutelage, you know that we all do our messaging contextual. what Rick is providing us is just another channel, another form of messaging. All of the prior stuff is still applicable. So what I teach when I talk about contextual copy, it's speak to them based on what they just did and the next step you want them to take. There's no, like, whether it's an email, a text message, or a handwritten note. Tell me this, Rick, because I'm all about feedback and synchronizing messaging and all of that. The note, your system will send out the note or the handwritten letter. Is there any way to get feedback on when it was delivered?
There is. We try to keep this as authentic as possible. So like using a real forever stamp, there are ways to do like barcodes or adding QR codes. Like you can do like personalized QR codes. And I mean, we've gotten really creative with a real estate agent where every single card had its own personalized QR code. So if someone scanned it, like they got notified and they know who scanned it. So then they could retarget them and re-enter them into a new marketing campaign or retargeting campaign. There are ways, you know, call tracking, QR codes, there are different ways to ship stuff, but we try to keep it as authentic as possible. We do have, like, we work with a luxury hat brand, like e-commerce Shopify website, that adds like personalized discount codes. So if they repurchase, they can track, you know, who's reusing it, where it's coming from. So, you know, it just depends on like how, you know, marketing minded you are, because you literally can get unlimited, like, in creative in different ways. Like you can get creative with the card design, you can get creative with the message, right? And, you know, different ways of tracking it. But it's an automated, you know, tangible, in some ways people think marketing piece, but, you know, we always say relationship, try to build a relationship.
Absolutely. Final question here, and it's in the Shopify realm. And this is just the first thing that comes to mind, Rick. The first thing that comes to mind. When we talk about Shopify, we're talking about products and online. And a lot of times that first impression is important. I can't tell you how many times I've shopped with a brand and I received a box. I'm just expecting the product, honestly. But it's a very nice surprise when I open up the box and it's got like a card in there and it's got a little bit of fluffy stuff that can get messy. I move it out. It's just a good presentation. So I think it's common to know when someone places their first order, maybe on anniversaries, birthdays, things of that nature. Are there any things that are on top of your mind right now that you've seen when it comes to like Shopify brands or things of that nature? Other unique events or ways that you've seen people use handwritten notes in e-commerce?
So e-commerce, I think thresholds or repeat buyers. So there's ways to set up those triggers, you know, because it makes sense, right? Like, oh, they just made their third purchase with us. Let's send them a handwritten note. And you can say something about that. Hey, thank you for making your third purchase with our company. So it shows that person that you're sending the card that you're paying attention to their activity, right? It shows them that it's even more like personalized because you're paying attention to them as a customer. You know, spending thresholds, you know, if they're spending more than 500,000, whatever, you can set up all that stuff. You know, larger ticket items, you know, if you're, I always say if your client's worth more than $1,000 to you, you know, you should be sending them multiple handwritten notes a year. You know, you spend a few bucks, right? Why not spend a few bucks to really, you know, build that relationship and get those referrals, get those better reviews, increase the lifetime value. That's what I was saying earlier, is if you have that marketing mind, there's unlimited ways that you can get creative to use a resource like this. But, you know, just automating a thank you card, you know, that's really the easiest way to use this.
Yeah. And there's, in closing, everybody, I'll leave you with this gem. I was thinking about, B2B, Rick, and with B2B, how nice would it be when you close that deal? Cause these usually have a sales cycle that's beyond a couple days, right? And there's multiple people involved. So maybe the founder, maybe the CTO, maybe there's other people that you've used along the way. How nice would it be once that deal is closed for everybody to get their own respective thank you card, right? Instead of sending it to the whole company. And it's just like, this is for everybody. Each person receive their own individual thank you card. I again, if you've got your marketing hat on, it's limitless, you know, what mm-hmm. you can do and how you can do it. I think that I'll say this, Rick, I think that if you can just integrate a little bit of empathy and compassion into your professional day to day, it mm-hmm. seems like with a platform like yours, it just goes a long way.
It will. Yeah. It does.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Rick, thank you so much, man. If people have been listening and they're like, wait a minute, I need to get set up with this yesterday. I just closed a big deal. I want to send thank you cards. I want to upload my handwritten font, my ligature style. I want to know more. Where can they go?
You can just go to simplynoted.com, just how it's spelled. It's just Simply Noted. Or you can reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn all day. Okay. I'm pretty responsive there. So, yeah. And also, you can go to our website, and on our business page, you can request a sample kit. We do a really nice job at sending like a big full sample kit like this out to everybody.
Nice.
So,
nice.
And you get a bunch of handwriting styles, you get a handwriting sheet, flyers, case studies, all that stuff. So I think we do a really good job with our sample kit that we send.
Yep. Good stuff. Love sample kits. Love that you have that. I'm actually going to get one, man. It looks really good. It looks really good. But again, thank you. We'll have the show notes, the URL in the show notes, everyone. You can go there on your phone right now, wherever you're listening to the web. It's a really nice website. Just explore. That's all I ask, is that you explore. When you have, again, multiple channels, we have to be thinking omni-channel in our marketing and sales these days.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can successfully say that the days of using one channel to close all of your leads, they're gone. They're gone.
Building this business over the last 4 years, we use every channel possible, including ours. Yep. But yeah, handwritten notes isn't the end all. It's not the only thing you should be using whatsoever, but I completely agree. We use, you know, phone dialers, emails, you know, social, our own mail. I mean, we use everything. You just have to in 2022. You just really do.
Absolutely. So thank you for your platform. Thank you for your competition within yourself, Rick, to beat yourself every day and improve incrementally. I can't say how refreshing it is to hear a story like that. I'm grateful for you being on the podcast, man. So thanks for joining.
Thanks, Chris. This is great.
Yes. Thank you. Have a good one, man.
All right, bye.
Yep. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the All Systems Go podcast. If you enjoyed it, make sure that you're subscribed. At the time of recording, the All Systems Go podcast is free to subscribe to, and it can be found in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes are released every Thursday, so make sure you're subscribed so that you don't miss out. And while you're at it, please leave us a 5-star rating and review to show some love, but also to help future listeners more easily find the podcast so they can experience the value and goodness as well. We've compiled all resources mentioned on the podcast, as well as other resources that are extremely valuable and effective at helping you grow your marketing automation skills quickly. And you can access them all at allsystemsgopodcast.com. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.